Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, Second Class, April 24, 2022, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we are in verse 13. And so far it sounds like this: for absolutely not by means of the law is the promise to Abraham or to his seed. And that's as far as we've gotten, and we're taking a look at the word seed, and noted that the word, or the phrase, the seed of Abraham, is used three ways in the Word of God. The first of all, it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that Genesis 22:15-18, Galatians 3:16. Now, secondly, it is used for the physical seed of Abraham. It's used of the physical seed of Abraham, and this refers to his physical descendants. It includes the racial Jews and also many Arab nations as well. The physical seed of Abraham is both Jewish and Gentile. However, the physical seed of Abraham is not in view in our verse in Romans 4:13 either. Then the third use of sperma is used for the spiritual seed of Abraham. And that's how it's used in our verse, Romans 4:13. The spiritual seed of Abraham. Let's amplify that. One, the Abrahamic covenant is a special blessing from God to all those racial Jews who believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. The Abrahamic covenant is a special blessing from God to all those racial Jews who believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. Two, at the moment of faith in Christ, they become the spiritual seed of Abraham. At the moment of faith in Christ, they become the spiritual seed of Abraham. Three, at the moment of faith in Christ, they are imputed with the righteousness from God and declared to be righteous. This is justification by faith. At the moment of faith in Christ, they are imputed with the righteousness from God and are declared to be righteous, justification by faith. Four, this establishes the grace pipeline, with the justice of God on one end and the imputed righteousness in the believer on the other end. There is now this fantastic grace pipeline from the justice of God on one end to imputed righteousness in each one of you. You all have the imputed righteousness of God through your faith in Jesus Christ. So here are all these grace pipelines going. It'd be cool to see them. Right where you're sitting right now, the grace pipeline goes up to the justice of God, and they're all over here. Now, you see what we're teaching this Harlan back here. Harlan, one of his favorite ways to lose money is to go gambling. And before they moved here, they would come from Texas. Dick, why don't you join us? I said, I don't have any money. Go, oh, don't worry about it. I'll float you a loan, $2. Thank you. And we'd be at the crap table, and somebody have the dice, and they're holding the dice. And then I look at Harlan, and Harlan looks at me, and I grab my collar and pull it out. It's coming down the grace pipeline. See, you didn't know that it included playing craps, did you? Coming down the grace pipeline from justice to imputed righteousness. Four. This establishes the grace pipeline with the justice of God on one end, imputed righteousness in the believer on the other end. Five. Now they are qualified for the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant. Down that grace pipeline, now they are qualified for the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant. They come down that grace pipeline. Six. The seed of Abraham in Romans 4:13 refers to the Jews who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. It refers to the Jews who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Seven, at the moment of faith in Christ, they became the spiritual seed of Abraham. At the moment of faith in Christ, they became the spiritual seed of Abraham. So the corrected translation, for absolutely not through the law or by means of the law is the promise to Abraham or to his seed, his spiritual seed, the promise of Abraham, the promise of the Abrahamic covenant, that he should be the heir of the world. This is the present active infinitive of ame, plus the accusative singular of autos, plus the accusative singular of kleronimos, with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of cosmos. Now, autos, again, is how it's used so often in Koine Greek as the third person singular subject of the infinitive ame. He is how you translate it, and he refers to Abraham. The accusative case of autos is the accusative of general reference, and the accusative of general reference functions as the subject of the infinitive. Paul is writing about the greatness of Abraham, and Abraham is one of the greatest believers of all time. And then we have kleronimos. That's K-L, long E-R-O-N-O-M-O-S. Kleronimos. Kleronimos is correctly translated heir. The accusative case is the predicate accusative, and the predicate accusative, the noun and the accusative, heir. The kleronimos is a predicate to another noun in the accusative, he. Autos, referring to Abraham. And then cosmos is the word for world, the earth, the planet on which we live. So the corrected translation, for absolutely not by means of the law, that is, by means of the works of the law, is the promise to Abraham or to his seed, his spiritual seed, that he was going to be heir of the world, the Abrahamic covenant. All right, well, this is the fantastic study just on this tremendous unconditional covenant called the Abrahamic covenant. So let's note a few things about the Abrahamic covenant. First of all, definition and description. Definition and description. One, the Abrahamic covenant is an unconditional covenant between God as party of the first part in favor of Abraham and his progeny as party of the second part. This is an unconditional covenant. God will fulfill it. It depends totally on God. He will fulfill this covenant. So the Abrahamic covenant is an unconditional covenant between God as party of the first part in favor of Abraham, this great, great believer, and his progeny as party of the second part. Two, this covenant is a deposition made by God in favor of Abraham. Made by God in favor of Abraham. Three, the source of this blessing to Abraham and his descendants is not any merit in Abraham, but Abraham's justification by faith in Christ, and then his advance to spiritual maturity. His advance to spiritual maturity. I'm telling Randy. I had a follow-up with my surgeon. I think it was your fault. Follow up with my surgeon after the surgery, obviously. And he was checking me out. I said, "Doc, can I get back in the saddle?" He said, "Yep, you can do anything you want." I said, "No, I can't. There's so many things I want to do, and I can't do any of them." He said, "Yeah, well, you're good to go. You can do whatever you want." So I said, "I think I'll just lay in bed and fantasize. Let's see. All these things I would like to do. The hardest thing is getting up here and getting down. And then, as you see, I can't even keep the damn microphone on my belt. There you go. That's one of the things I'm going to fantasize about, keeping the microphone on my belt." Three. The source of this blessing to Abraham and his descendants is not any merit in Abraham, but Abraham's justification by faith in Christ and his advance to spiritual maturity by faith in the Word of God. Four, the source of this blessing to Abraham and his descendants is the justice of God. The justice of God. Five, the justice of God is free to fulfill this covenant to Abraham at the point of his attainment of spiritual maturity. All right. Point two is the original declaration of the Abrahamic covenant. The original declaration of the Abrahamic covenant is in Genesis chapter 12. So let's turn over to Genesis. We're going to be in Genesis for a while. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever despises and curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Now, a couple of things here. First of all, verse 1 emphasizes Abraham's necessary isolation and separation from Ur. He had to leave Ur of the Chaldees for the fulfillment of the covenant and the development of a new race, for the development of his spiritual growth. He had to leave Ur of the Chaldees, and he didn't even know where he was going, but he trusted God to guide him to the exact right place, which it was the land of Canaan, and today the nation Israel. Two, it was imperative that he separate from his family to avoid personal distraction. He had to separate from his family to avoid personal distraction. Three, verse 2 is Abraham's logistical grace, blessing, and support necessary to fulfill this promise. And then verse 3 has three parts: blessing by association with Israel and the Jewish people, a curse on anti-Semitism, and a messianic blessing clause. So verse 3 has three parts: blessing by association with Israel and the Jewish people, a curse on anti-Semitism, and a messianic blessing clause. So the original declaration of the covenant, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Point 3, the land promised in the Abrahamic covenant. The land promised in the Abrahamic covenant. Turn over to Genesis 13. Genesis 13, verse 14. Genesis 13, verse 14. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, "Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south, east and west. All the land that you see, I, the Lord, will give to you and your seed forever. I will make your seed like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. I, the Lord, am giving it to you." Now this is amplified over in chapter 15. Turn over to Genesis 15, verse 18. Genesis 15, verse 18. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, "To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Cadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. So the land promise is amplified, given in Genesis 13, 14 to 16, is amplified in Genesis 15, 18 to 21, which gives the dimensions of the land God is giving them. This land will be completely given to the Jewish people when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent. Jesus Christ is coming back the second time to establish his kingdom on earth. When he comes back, we come back with him. We are his bride. And there's a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on the earth. Perfect environment. Forget about this crap from the liberals. That climate change. When Christ comes back, there will be perfect climate. Perfect environment when Jesus Christ comes back. And that's after the tribulation. That's after all the buttons have been pushed. The tribulation, 7 years, all the buttons will be pushed. But when Christ comes back, perfect environment. Perfect health. People are going to live the whole 1,000 years unless you commit a capital crime. If you only lived to be 300, you were a bad guy. And you were executed. There will be perfect prosperity. There will be world peace. There will be no military anywhere. No need for it. There will be world peace. Why? Because the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, is ruling on this earth. He's coming back. The second advent. We come back with him as his bride. And as he is the one who rules planet Earth with perfect righteousness, perfect justice, world peace, great prosperity, excellent health. And you can, in the millennium, you can have 50 Hummers and drive them around. They use gas. In oil. That is so stupid. California is stupid. They're making a law that you can't own a gas-run car. You got to have a battery. Electric. Are you kidding me? I would be like Jonah. The only way I would ever get to California. A whale would have to swallow me and take me there. Perfect environment. You think we're going to destroy planet? This is all being set up for the Antichrist. Yeah. It's all being set up. There'll be one world government, and he's going to climate change. You're destroying the planet. You have to put all. Give me the power. Give me the power, so that we don't destroy planet Earth. First of all, who created planet Earth? Jesus Christ. Who's the one who will destroy it? The only one who will ever is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this heavens and this earth, they will be destroyed, and a new heavens and a new earth will be created by Jesus Christ. The one who created this is the only one who's going to destroy it. And he will in his perfect time. But we're not. I'm not destroying planet Earth because I'm driving a Hummer. And when I go in to get oil changed in my Hummer, get the oil changed, they say, are you going to buy a new electric one? Dear man, where are the electric ones being made? China? Enough said. I mean, they already gave us COVID. Why in the hell would I want an electric Hummer? Would never have an electric Hummer, ever. Next question. Just change the frickin' oil, you know. Rotate the tires and let me get rolling. So this is accomplished, amplified in Genesis 15, 18 to 21. The land will be completely given to the Jews when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent. He will come back at the second advent. This promise he's given here and amplified in Genesis 15, 18 to 21 will be given to the Jews. And the Son of David, Jesus Christ, will rule planet Earth, and the whole planet will be blessed by association with the seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ. This land promised to Israel will go from the Nile to Saudi Arabia, to the Euphrates, to the Mediterranean. That's the land God has promised to Israel. They will have it when he comes back at the second advent. Point four. The covenant was confirmed to Isaac. So it was given to Abraham. It was confirmed to Isaac. Turn over to Genesis 26. Genesis 26. Genesis 26. So the Abrahamic covenant was confirmed to Isaac. Genesis 26, verse 2. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws." So Isaac stayed in Gerar. This had to be done to prove that the covenant would not be fulfilled through the line of Ishmael. The Abrahamic covenant would not be fulfilled through the line of Ishmael. This is the doctrine of blessing by association. Nations are blessed because of their relationship with the Jewish nation. Point five, the covenant was confirmed to Abraham's grandson. So it was confirmed to Abraham, confirmed to Isaac, confirmed to Jacob. Turn over to Genesis 35. Genesis 35. And what's the title that Jesus Christ used? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it was confirmed to Abraham's grandson, Jacob. Genesis 35, verse 12. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you. And I will give this land to your descendants after you. So this is why the title of Jesus Christ is so important. Namely, that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Six, the Abrahamic covenant was confirmed at the time of the Exodus. The Abrahamic covenant was confirmed at the time of the Exodus. Turn to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, start of verse 2. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, the Tetragrammaton, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. This was the time for the formation of the Jewish nation. God raised up Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt to the land that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Abrahamic covenant was the basis on which God delivered the Jews as a race in slavery and caused them to become a nation. 600 years after the death of Abraham, there are still these fantastic blessings to the Jews, all from blessing to one spiritually mature believer, Abraham. When they came out of Egypt, they were being blessed by association with one of the greatest believers of all time, Abraham. In Exodus 6:3, the name God Almighty is El Shaddai, the strong and powerful God who pours out many grace blessings. The Abrahamic covenant. God has a plan for Israel. The world right now hates Israel. There is so much anti-Semitism all over the world. The world hates Israel, but things are being set up for the Antichrist. You see, we're at the end of the church age. The restraining ministry of the Spirit is still operating. And so the devil's being held back. But when the I'm reaching puberty. When the rapture takes place, the restraining ministry of the Spirit is over. It's gone. We're gone. The restraining ministry of the Spirit's gone. And that's when the devil will take charge. And he will take the whole world and try to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. He's got them set up for it now. Most of the world hates Israel right now. There's anti-Semitism all over. There's anti-Semitism in America. And following the rapture and removal of the church, the body of Christ, the restraining ministry of the Spirit's over, Satan will then, it's his objective to wipe out every Jew from the face of the earth. The greatest anti-Semitism the world will ever know. But he won't succeed. He won't succeed. God has a plan for Israel. And he's given it in these unconditional covenants like the Abrahamic covenant. And he is coming back. He's going to put the spiritual seed who believe in Christ as their Savior in the land, and the seed of Abraham, the son of David, will rule planet Earth for 1,000 years. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. Thank you for the privilege of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.